My text this morning is from John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 27 to 29, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep listen to me. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. On this eve of a new year, I want to put a question to you. What's the question? It's this. Whose hands are you in? Soccer clubs. They've had three bad seasons. They've got rid of the manager. The new guy comes in. They were going to be in good hands from that moment on. It's top of the Premier for them. Parents see children off to university and attend good evangelical churches. Oh, they'll be in good hands there. They'd be looked after. A young Welsh boxer, featherweight, from Pendaren, Merthyr Tydfil, sat in front of the cameras, he and his manager. I believe that the interviewer, his Christian name was Lloyd, forgot his surname, going back a bit. Well, Howard, how do you see your future? Titles and other things. Howard said, "Well, Lloyd, I do the fighting and Eddie do the talking. Speak to Eddie." What happened? Well, that young fellow from Pendaren went on to be the world featherweight champion, Howard Winston. I'd been in the ring with him, with four other kids chasing him around. He was ordered by his manager, "Don't lay a hand on them." Perhaps fathers give their prized daughters away. I trust she'll be in good hands for the next 50 or 60 years. That's our prayer, isn't it? Well, how many hands are there to be in anyway? Because you're in somebody's hands. I want to consider three. First of all, sinners in the hands of Satan. That's where we begin. Secondly, sheep in the hands of the shepherd. That's where we want to be. And then thirdly, sons and daughters in the hands of the Father. That will be glory for you and me. Well, whose hands are you in? Let's consider the first. Sinners in the hands of Satan. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." Liar, thief, murderer. Something happened in eternity past, in the heavenly realms, that is a mystery to us. We find little bits and pieces of news of what happened there. A banishment of the chief angel called Lucifer. That took place. Isaiah tells us in chapter 14, verse 12 and following, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How have you come down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, 'I will ascend to the heavens. I will exalt my name above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farther side of the earth. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High.'" So says Lucifer. And it was in the prophecy, in the time of wickedness. Yet look what was in front of him. Verse 15, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. The fallen angel took hold of the human race from that moment on. He, as the arch deceiver, took the guise of a serpent and he entered a garden, paradise, the park. In Genesis 3 and verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He questioned Eve in order to deceive her, sowing seeds of doubt in her mind. Genesis 3 verse, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? God didn't say that. You misheard and misunderstood what he was telling you, Eve. Go on, help yourself. Listen to me. She took the forbidden fruit in verse 6. She also gave to her husband and he ate. And from that moment, the human race was in the hands of Lucifer, the son of the morning, with all the names that are attributed to him. Here he is. His hands are cruel, murderous, filthy hands. My friends, if you're not a Christian, that is where you are right now. He has several names that hint to his hold on humanity. How does the Bible use names that describe his hold over us and upon us? Well, in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, he is referred to as the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. He's cruel. He's blinded you all, blinded me. Some take pity on a blind man being led by a sighted man, but no one is to pity him. It's shame, cruelty, tyranny. Jesus tells us in John 12 and 31, now is the ruler of this world judged. He's the God of this age. He's the ruler of this world. In Ephesians 2 and 2, the prince and the power of the air who now works in the sons of disobedience. What a name to bear. What a title to own. He acts like royalty, using disobedient, blinded, fallen sinners to glorify himself. He's got you where it counts, as far as he is concerned. The God, the ruler, the prince. This list is not exhaustive. You can go on. There are several others. Where does this leave you? Well, Jesus said in John 8 and 34, I say to you, whosoever commits sin is a slave to sin. You're a slave. What a thing to say on New Year's Eve. If you're not converted, you're a slave to sin. You're in the hands of Satan. He's not going to let you go without a great event taking place. Could you cry out this morning? Get your filthy, murderous hands off me. I look to another for liberty, for life, and health and peace. Sinners in the hands of Satan. That's where you are. If you're not converted, these are the hands that are holding you. Secondly, we have the picture of sheep in the hands of the shepherd. There's hope here, isn't there? My sheep, hear my voice. I want to encourage you to cry, to call, to bleat. The shepherd is listening. The shepherd is looking. And the shepherd will find. Trust it, it'll be today. If Satan is referred to as the serpent, Jesus is referred to as the shepherd. How is a shepherd characterized? Well, he comes seeking the lost, doesn't he? Jesus said why he came into this dark world in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You're not only held in tyranny, but you've lost your way. In some respects, you don't know where you are. That's the definition of being lost, isn't it? Where am I? He comes seeking. His eyes are everywhere. Then he gives us a picture. A day in the life of a shepherd, perhaps. In Luke 15, verse 4 and following, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he came home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. I wonder, will heaven rejoice over your conversion this morning? I found him. I found her. I found them. The sheep will bleat, the shepherd will seek and hear, hands will lift to the you to the shoulders. He places his sheep on his shoulders, he takes them by the hands and he places them there and carries them home. If you're in his hands, you're on the way home, my friends, into the flock, into glory. That's the picture of how a shepherd is found, how the sheep is found in the shepherd. But these hands are marked and scarred. Jesus said in John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Imagine looking at the hands of the one who picks you up. Been in an accident? What happened? As Jesus picks us up, we could almost see the hands had been in an accident, perhaps. Can he bear such a weight in such scarred hands? What happened to you, my shepherd? How did they become scarred like that? Jesus answers such questions. John 15 and verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You know how we're there? I laid my life down for you. But I want you in them now. While the scars were proof of the cruel cross, they were and are the marks of divine love. The evidence of the love of God is found in the hands that come to hold and to pick you up and to take you to his breast. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 and 18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. These scarred hands bring us, carry us to God in salvation, in his hands and on his shoulders. What a place to be in a day when war surrounds many nations. Jesus receives all the Father gives him. Isn't that lovely? Christmas is time to give gifts. Look at this. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me. This is the value Jesus puts on his sheep. They are my Father's gift to me. He has given them to me. Chosen by the Father in eternity past is the Father's gift to the Son. And yet the value of the sinner is seen in the price that God paid, the blood of his own Son to purchase them for himself. A number that cannot be numbered are placed in the Good Shepherd's hands. We're not talking about a few. We're talking about a number that cannot be numbered. in his hands. Fancy that. As a boy, I'd listen, 5 o'clock, sports news. I'd have the scores of Merthyr Tydfil and Barry and Cardiff and Swansea and Wrexham and Newport. That's all I wanted to know. But at the end, they would give the amount of people that passed through the turnstiles. 562,001. How did they know? Well, every time someone went through, it clicked. They knew how many people were watching football that Saturday. But we're talking about a number which no man could number. And where are they? They will be and are in his hands. And he holds everyone. Amazingly, Jesus gives eternal life to all his Father gives him. Look where they're placed in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands. I don't know about you, but I was brought up after conversion in an Arminian background. You can be saved today and lost tomorrow. That's it. Is that what we're talking about here? Can you find it anywhere in Scripture? And none can snatch them out of my hands. It has been said that shepherds of Jesus' day could not be trusted. They could not bear a witness in a testimony in court. They were known for stealing sheep from other flocks. Verse 8, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But what a difference. Look whose hands you could be in verse 10. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I don't know if you like pastors quoting quotes. It's very impressive, you know. He's been reading and he's been studying the week. Leon Morris, an Australian. The Palestinian shepherd died for the defense of his sheep by accident. He planned to live for them, not to die for them. With Jesus, however, death for the shepherd was the set purpose. There is the element of voluntary acceptance of death in the expression, layeth down his life, verse 11, 15, 17, and 18. The death of the Palestinian shepherd meant disaster for his sheep. The death of the good shepherd means life for his sheep. When you look to the cross, can you glory in that? I can. Bear the price we paid, the shepherd laying down his life for me. Come on then, into my hands, into my arms. How secure are the sheep? Well, in verse 28, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch out of my hand. Satan is the genius of the sheep stealer, but he cannot snatch us out of the hands of the good shepherd. He's no butterfingers. He drops no one who's in his hands. Found, forgiven, freed. Bleat for life, will you? Recognize where you are outside of Christ, lost, a sheep that has gone astray. Here's the shepherd. Where are you? Ah. I can see you sitting in the pew. Are you in the hands of the Good Shepherd for 2024 and onwards? Sinners in the hands of Satan. Sheep in the hands of the Shepherd. Sons and daughters in the hands of the Father. Verse 29, my Father, who is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Not merely two hands, but four hands. The shepherd's hands, the Father's hands, a double security. How can we close? Well, in the hands of a loving father. I have four children, age 53, 51, 42, 41. It's not as much fun as when they were 9, 10, 11, and 12. But I love them. I still miss them. The time went right under the nose. If you're a father or mother, treasure every moment. I love them dearly. And I would tantalize them and say, "How much do you love Dad today?" On a bad day, about that much. On a good day, two arms behind the back. Remember those days? I love them all so dearly, yet our Heavenly Father love for us makes my love look somewhat sparse. My Father's love for me outloves my love for my own flesh and blood. It's official. I'm his son, and I can call him Abba, Daddy, Father. I think I've given this illustration to you once before, but you get it again. Years ago, a little boy in Kent, Crocken Hill, saw his dad leave him and his two older sisters and his mum. He ran away with another woman. They'd come on a Thursday evening to Thursday Club. They'd sing their songs, they'd memorize their text, they'd have their story, and then we would have a little play. And we'd be on our knees playing with them. And the little boy, 6 or 7 years of age, looked at me and he said, "I wish you were my dad." I could never be his dad or his daddy legally. Couldn't be. But as Christians, we have been given the right to call God our Father. Fancy, who's your father? Where does he work? Is he underground? Is he in? Where is he? Our Father, my Heavenly Father, I'm in his hands. Paul wrote in Romans 8 and 14, "For as the many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." That's how you approach the one in whose hands you are. I'm in my daddy's hands, Abba. In his hands, my Father, I can call him Father. And I'm in his hands, and I cannot be moved out of his hands. I can call him Father. Isaiah puts it gloriously. Isaiah 49, verse 14 and 16, he starts with the sad phase. "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. Yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on my hands." Whatever God does, I know that he's non-physical, but let's use our imagination for a moment. Whatever God does, whatever he puts his hands to, whatever it is, he'll see your name there first, inscribed upon his hands. Augustus Toplady, we've sung his hymn, "A Debtor to Mercy Alone." Verse 3 says, "My name from the palms of his hands eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure." And this is the amazing thing. "As sure as the earnest is given, more happy, but not more secure. You're as secure here now as you will be in heaven, where sin will never be.
That's security, isn't it?
More happy, but not more secure, the glorious spirits in heaven. Well, whose hands are you in right now? How are you going to begin a new year? Barely 12 hours left of it. The sinner in the hands of Satan. My friends, if you're not a Christian, that's where you are. What hands to be in? You call upon God, and the sheep in the hands of the shepherd. Do you know him as your shepherd? Also, we see this double security. Sons and daughters in the hands of the Father. Whose hands are you in for 2024 and the rest of your life?